Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Hi, this is Russell. And once again, we were on and talking about some substantive issues with life. Today, I want to look at what we should be doing as people, those of us who are still here, waiting to cross over to another world, what we should do while we have a few minutes. I was listening to a book earlier today, by the way. It's called Land of the Gods. And I just thought I would start off about a minute in opening and see what this lady is saying, and maybe you can comment on what they are talking about.
The reason that we imagine such things. Why do we endow dead things with human...
Oops, I made a mistake.
In our moments of happiness, I'm satisfied to feel that we live in a body, but our consciousness craves to go out of its prison house and mix with the universal life. Is our consciousness merely a product of the organic activity of our physical body? Or is it a function of the universal life, concentrated, so to say, in focus within the physical body? Is our personal consciousness dependent for its existence on the physical body? And does it die with the latter? Or is there a spiritual consciousness belonging to a higher, immortal, and invisible spiritual self, which is temporarily connected with the physical organism, but which may exist independently of the latter?
Mm-hmm. So, good afternoon, Jillian. Thank you very much for being on once again. Good. And that was from the book Land of the God, not plural, just singular. So what is she saying? What did she say? She's trying to tell us that we should be doing what?
Well, I think she's raising the question, is it all physical or is there a spiritual aspect? So let's just clear the decks here, Russell, and really say where you and I know we are coming from. We take it for granted that there is a spiritual component to life. The idea of saying that maybe there is no spiritual component, that, you know, you're born, it's a biological entity, and when you're dead, that's it, the worms get your body, end of story. There are people who believe that, who hold that to be true, that they are just physical experiences and that they're a one-off experience. And if somebody wants to believe that, of course, they are at liberty to do so. We're all at liberty to choose for ourselves. However, I think it's a very unrealistic view. But it does mean, if that is your view, then you can spend your whole life doing exactly what you want to do, because there is no possibility of long-term repercussions in anything that you do. So that really opens the way to those who wish to manifest the dark side. That kind of belief structure makes it very easy for them to do so. I think any thinking person is going to question that, however, and say, we know so much scientifically now about the nature of the universe, the nature of energy itself, that it's more than probable that there is ongoing awareness at some level. And for myself, of course, I've had continuing consciousness for tens of thousands of years. So I am absolutely certain that life is continuous.
Okay.
Because it goes from one life, one life to another.
So you really convinced of this. You are saying that you have incarnated a number of times on planet Earth. And that,
yes. And other places and other forms. Yes, absolutely.
See, here's the thing.
I was just listening to somebody speaking yesterday, and this was a scientist, and he was talking about, all the new advances in science in the quantum field, and about how he was also a bit out in the field as a new ager at the same time as being a scientist. And he was saying, of course, now we know that in the sense of time, everything is happening simultaneously. This is multiple levels are happening at the same time. So that one could say past, present, and future are all the ongoing now. This is everything. Well, I take issue with that very strongly, right? I understand what they are saying in the quantum sense, that in the beginning something created this universe and that source knew the beginning, the middle, and the end from the very beginning. I can support that understanding. What I think, and with the scientists, the philosophers, or the New Age thinkers who say everything is happening in the now, because of this multiplicity of frequencies or dimensional overlaps, you might say, I understand from their point of view of science why they think that, where their thinking is coming from. But I take issue with it for this reason, that in order for us to have understanding of what is happening, we have to have an awareness of linear time. Time is a key factor in understanding the universe. So unless you have linear time, you are not going to have order. And order is the first law of the universe. You know, first, you might say in a creation, first there is the idea of a creation, and then it has to be put, that order has to, that idea has to be put into order to make itself manifest as a physical reality in which we can experience through the five senses. So in order to do that, the factor that you must have, apart from the polarities of the oppositions which allow three-dimensional reality, you must also have the factor of time, making a starting point, a traveling point, and somewhere in the distance, of presumably an ending point. So without that linear continuity, we could not experience this three-dimensional reality. There is also the factor, and again, I think it's where some of this other thinking is coming from about it's all in the now, that it is also true, having said what I just said, that nothing is ever lost. Therefore, when something has occurred, it is always available on that timeline. It is a continuous thing. Let me put it in this way. If I were an advanced being who was capable of existing both in time and outside time, as for instance the Lord Jesus Christ was, right, then I would have the capability of stepping out of my time now and stepping into any time I wanted to step into that had already occurred. I could go and step back into the Middle Ages or step back into wherever, because that frequency is never lost. Once it is happened, it is always there. It is this, because of this, that we are able to contact people who have died on the astral plane. So no matter how long ago they died, you can go out onto that astral plane and connect with them, contact their energy. So I think it is because of this recognition that time travel capability, people with that capability, can step into past time and they can step into future time. So in that sense, it is all existing now, but in order to experience it, we have to experience it in linear time, as if it has a past, a present, a future. We cannot experience it all in the now, in this instance. Am I making sense of this?
Yes, yes, yes. Are you talking directly into your phone? You think
Do you have a problem with me? Yeah, yes, I am.
It sounds a little bit in the far distance for some reason or other. I don't know, maybe it's me.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. So, but there are people who can transverse that, the time element, if you will, in terms of...
Yes.
Right. Now I can hear you a little bit better. Okay. So
I've moved the phone, that's why.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Now it's...
Is that better?
It's back to where you were. But for a minute or two, your voice came right up. I don't know why. But
is that
anyway.
Better?
No, it's okay. About the same. Maybe it's me. But anyway, let's keep rolling, because when we talk about that time, now, I was going to say Laura Eisenhower, Andrew Bisago, and all of those people with time travel. I know you know who Laura Eisenhower is, but Andrew Bisago,
yes.
Did you know him?
No.
Okay.
I've heard of him because you've spoken of him, but I don't know them.
Yeah. He was saying that he's capable of time traveling, but that's right. And he said he had been to the moon. As a matter of fact, at one point he said he'd met Obama on the moon when he was 12 years old and on Mars. And then he said that he decided then that he was going to run for presidency. And then Andrew Bisago said he was going to come back and run for the presidency, so I don't know. Anyway. We just skip over that. But anyway, let me do this. Nothing hidden manifests. They said, I'm looking at Luke 8:17. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is everything secret that will not be known and come to the light of day. Now, when we talk about that, in light of people who are saying that they can do time travel, well, they can look at the past, they can look at the present, they can look at the future. But you're saying that there are people who are capable of doing that. Is that right? Whether it be Anunnaki.
A few people. Yes, a very few. My understanding is that they actually, my Anunnaki friends, actually call these beings Time Lords. That's the name they give them, Time Lords. And they have to have reached a certain level of development, a very high level of development, what we would call beyond Christ consciousness. In other words, be able to do everything Christ could do and the more. And one of the more things is travel through time, basically move backwards and forwards in time at will. This is not quite the same thing as manipulating time. I'm talking about the few beings in the universe, and I'm told there are only 2,000 or 3,000 of them in the entire universe for advanced godlike beings, if you like, right? But time manipulation, that's a different thing altogether. Now, the Pleiadians, with whom almost everybody is familiar with the Pleiadians are very adept at manipulating time and teleporting objects through time and moving them to a different time, backwards and forwards, small distances, not, you know, within the solar system, not necessarily throughout the universe, but certainly within the solar system. They're very good at manipulating time. And most of the off-planet extraterrestrial beings are very capable of manipulating time, not necessarily traveling through time themselves, but manipulating it as it exists here, our experience of it. And I'm sure many of us, I know I've experienced it many times, been both had time move forward, in other words, missing time, but also had time given back to me. And I'll tell you one classic story about that. I have a friend, Laura, and when we were both living in Michigan, her husband didn't like her to go out at night, right? They lived out in the country, and, you know, he liked the family home at night. And there was one weekend when I'd been invited to a gathering over in Lansing, and I asked her to go with me, and her husband said, well, yeah, that's fine, but be sure you're back by midnight. And it was like a 40, 50, 60-mile drive, right? Well, we didn't leave in time, and by the time we were within 2 or 3 miles of her home, we had already run out of time. It was already 12:15. And so she was getting quite worried, and I said, oh, don't worry. I said, let's just ask the guys. I need to have Laura back home no later than 11 o'clock. She needs to be home by 11. So I continued driving, and in a very short while, we picked up a UFO behind us. with it, and it came right down behind us. Its lights were shining through in the back window of the car, and it followed us all the way to her house, and then it stopped, and I went in their long driveway and dropped Laura off, backed back out, and then this little UFO followed me all the way home, and then it took off. And when I called Laura the next morning, she said, guess what time it was on the clock when I got in? And I said, what? 1 minute past 11. And we'd already, from 12:15, we'd had another 45-minute drive. So we actually got 2 hours given back. The time moved back for us for 2 hours. And that kind of thing has happened to me many times in my life. That's not unusual. So I know the extraterrestrials have no problem manipulating time, but not many of them can move through it.
Okay, but obviously when you talk about 20 and back, if you, but you make assumption that people who are listening know about, you know, the adjustment of time that the Palladians, the reptilians, the Nordics, the whomever can do, but it's not true. Most people don't even understand. They don't even know there's a difference in time on this planet and other planets, right? We haven't been taught those things.
Right.
Yet. Okay. But
well,
let's, it's, 20 and back.
It's a fairly, I don't know how they do it. Physically, I know what the possibilities are. To take the physical body back in time, you can lengthen the telomeres in the brain. And that is something that I absolutely know the scientific community, both our scientific community on this planet at certain levels and off-planet extraterrestrial communities, they almost all know how to do that, and they use it extensively, right? Just simply keep lengthening the telomeres, and you keep getting years back, years back, years back, right? So that's a simple thing, and it's, you're probably talking in 10 or 20-year increments of how your body is and how you look. The 20 and back program is something quite different, and I'm not fully conversant with it, but it appears that the military takes on personnel, soldiers or airmen, astronauts, whatever they are, they take them on at a young age, let's say at 25 years of age, and they ask them to sign a 20-year contract, which makes them then 45 when they've done their contract. But what they tell them is, you do this contract, and at the end of 20 years, we will give you your 20 years back again. In other words, at 45, you'll be like 25 again. We will give you the 20 years back in exchange for you giving us this 20 years of service. And if they agree to that, then my understanding is that they then take them to the moon base where they train them for work in the space fleets or on Mars or the moon or wherever they want them to work. But this has been going on, I believe, my understanding is, since about the 1950s, right after World War II, this space program started and the training of these people. So it's a fairly well-known phenomena, and it's one that a lot of the people who are whistleblowing on it today are talking about. I think what has happened is that with the original people, when they do it, when they give them the 20 back, they blank their minds out for that 20 years. But that mind blanking seems to want, in some people, not be effective 100% or not be effective at all. Or since we have started acknowledging that we have programs in space and a space, a recognized branch of the military is a space force, since these recognitions and acknowledgments have come out, it seems that they are no longer blanking them out. They're allowing them to keep most, if not all, of their memories intact. And some of them was one, I believe, I read all his material that he wrote. Some of them, like him, continue after their 20 years to actually work for the government as liaisons of various kinds on these space programs interacting with extraterrestrials. So this is no longer some deep, dark secret that nobody knows about. It's maybe true that only 10 or 15% of the population know about it. But the only reason they don't know now is because they're not asking the questions, they're not reading the material, they're not listening to the information that's out there, because the information is definitely available in many, many well-documented books today, books like Dr. Michael Sala writes and other people like him.
Yeah, Corey Good, David Wilcox, Emerald Smith, yeah, they often talk about it on Gaia for those individuals who want to go to the internet and look at Gaia or Cosmic Connections. And even occasionally I look at Beyond Belief with George Norrie, and he talks about some of that. So, yeah.
Well, the History Channel as well has some excellent programs in those ancient alien programs that give you
okay.
a great deal of background information. And if you happen to have yep. either Netflix or Prime, one of those two, there is a movie on there called They Are With Us. I think it's called They Are With Us. But what it is a documentary interviewing many of these people. It interviews Bill Ryan, David Icke, Wilcock, there's a guy in Australia. There's a whole slew of people on there in this most excellent little film. It's done by the Gravidas people, who usually are a bit, you know, B-movie type. But this is a most excellent documentary telling you the experiences of all these people and the people they have met through their research. So it's very broad-based and very interesting. Well worth
yeah.
watching.
Right, right. I've been listening to David Icke recently, and he talks about a lot of conspiracy theories. I mean, David Icke, obviously you know him well, because he's from London. Is he not, or UK?
Yeah, he's from the UK, yeah.
From the UK.
Yeah, he's
okay.
on the Isle of Wight.
So he was a sports figure, then he went on to television and radio, and now he's in a lot of conspiracy theories. And he talks about the reptilians, he talks about people who are lizard-like. His a comment. From
Lizard's very own Death Star.
Don't mention the reptiles.
Don't mention the reptiles,
yeah. Because there were people, when this started to come in, people who were kind of into my stuff up to that point, which was kind of regular fight. Well, it's a bit strange because it was all the way the wars manipulated by a few people, but it was all kind of regular stuff. And then I came across with this stuff, and it
get
like,
it out of the way.
Don't mention the reptiles. They'll just laugh at you again. I said, I know, but I've seen enough and heard enough to believe that it's real, and so I say it. I don't care about the consequences for me. Are you frightened? No, I'm not. I don't care, because the consequences for the world and my children and my grandchildren and everyone else's of humans not intervening in this process that's going on now ever more quickly, or that we are condemning our children and grandchildren, indeed ourselves, it's that close, to a world that George Orwell so massively understated.
He's basically saying in that talk that I was listening to earlier today, that there's a reptilian force that's diabolical, nefarious, if you like. I'm trying to use a nice term, that manipulative. And they're working with a cabal. And so you know the Illuminati and the translator people and the Bilderbergers and da-da-da-da. Let's talk about that for the people who have not heard about any of that. But let me just wrap it up, David, because he did talk about a lizard.
He began to write. In order to a series of increasingly successful books, he began to outline his philosophy. Humankind was not in charge of its destiny. It was the unwitting prisoner of a race of shape-shifting lizards who occupied the roles in the highest echelons of society. From presidents to royal families, all trusted public figures were secretly part of a reptilian, Satanist pedophile group who had been on this planet for centuries. People began to take notice of Icke. And today he spends most of his year preaching to amphitheaters full of fans. He's still making startling revelations, and recently he declared the moon to be a hollowed-out planetoid space station from which our minds are controlled. The lizard's very own Death Star.
Yeah, right. Do you want to address any of that, David Icke? You talk about the Illuminati.
Well, yes, yeah, sure, Sure. First of all, I want to say David Icke is a great researcher. I know him. I knew him briefly. George knew him, of course, better than I did. And I know he's a great researcher, and I know he checks and double-checks his material. Now, I have to admit, when he first was talking about the reptilians way back in the 1980s, and I was asked about it at a conference, I came out and said, don't believe everything you're hearing because it's not true. And I don't think that it was true then in the way that it is now. What I know is true is that there's more than one reptilian race. That's the first thing. So let me separate those. There is believed to be a very ancient Earth-originating reptilian species that lives inside our planet somewhere. That is something that many people talk about. I personally know nothing about that, but I think it's probably correct, right? The other thing that I do know about is that for thousands of years, the Anunnaki and the reptilians have been having literal battles on the outer space areas around this planet. It was like almost every time the Anunnaki came through this area, they were fighting reptilians. Now, I'm talking about fights involving a few thousand, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 reptilians at a time in their spaceships, having battles back and forth. And this was a regular occurrence, and it's gone on for thousands of years. It seems, and the reptilians themselves have been sending representatives of themselves down to this planet, I know for sure, since the time the Anunnaki left, which was roughly 4,500, 5,000 years ago. When the Anunnaki pulled out, and they were still fighting on the outer edges of space around this planet, but up to that point, the reptilians were not down on the planet in any numbers. They, you know, maybe had scouting groups here and there and things, but they were not here in number. When the Anunnaki left, that left a window of opportunity, and that's when the Draco reptilians, the Draconians, that who do not belong in our universe at all, they were here by mistake, millennia, hundreds of millions of years ago. They came into our universe from another universe altogether. They don't belong here. But when they got here, they were a small group that made a home base for themselves on the planet Draco. That's why we call them Draconian. And they evolved and expanded their numbers from there. Highly intelligent, very long living, incredibly powerful beings. And they eventually got their eye on Earth, and they wanted to be here. For one thing, Earth humans themselves, the actual human beings, are a huge resource for them. It, for all kinds of things, slave labor and multiple other things. But also, it's a fairly easy shape shift for them to make themselves appear like humans, as if they are human. They can somehow have that ability. Now, don't ask me how they do it, but when you think about it, you think of a chameleon in the garden. You know, you have a chameleon, and when its circumstances change, it changes color, right? So if a little simple chameleon can do that, then why not a big reptilian, highly advanced species? It's not beyond reason that they can do that. So they shapeshift. Now, what David Icke is now saying is that they're not few in number any longer. They've always interfered with government, always interacted with the governing bodies of this planet in small numbers. They're no longer doing that. They are inhabiting people, not just the ruling class, but people in general. They are taking over our species by the tens of thousands, according to what David Icke is now saying. And I think, sadly, he may be right. They've had now 4,500 years to get a grip on this planet. And it is a real battle that we're having with them. And the worst part is that they are known to be working conjointly with the remnants of Nazi Germany, of Hitler's cadre of Nazis in Antarctica. And that's where the reptilians and the Nazis have joined together and are, in fact, from there ruling certainly most of the Western world's industry, finances, economics, you name it. They've got a grip on it everywhere you look. So how many of us are actually hiding reptilian? I don't know, but it's millions. It's millions.
Okay. All right. You had said once before that they live long lives. I mean, immortality is on their side, number one. Two, extremely powerful entities intellectually and can mentally manipulate things and thus are working with the governments all over the world. But see what David has to say about this.
It's not just political correctness. You can't say this, you can't say that, you must say that. It's also the fact that humanity has been hoaxed on a monumental scale in relation to freedom of expression and freedom of information. And it's been done out of an area that I call the devil's playground. It's better known as Silicon Valley. What's happened is when you do the research, intelligence organizations like the CIA in the United States, the National Security Agency, and the Pentagon through an organization called DARPA, the technological development arm of the Pentagon, they began seed funding technology and companies to develop what has become now known as the internet, and an outgrowth of that, what became known as social media, and the search engine technology, which eventually became known as Google. All those were seed funded by this military intelligence network. And when they were selling it, because you can't show something's real face at the start, otherwise people will reject it and it won't get anywhere. You have to put another face to the world. So it was Google. Oh yeah, Google, yeah, and we just got a search engine, we can find what we like, that's great, hey. And social media, oh, you post to your friends, you can say what you like, there's no censorship, isn't it great?
Yeah.
And then it builds, and then it builds, and then it builds. And now you've reached a point now with Facebook where it claims 2.2 billion active users in a global population of 7.5 billion. You have this 90% monopoly on search engines, searches of Google. You have YouTube, which has got basically a monopoly on the posting of internet videos, which is owned by Google. And once this monopolistic situation was reached, then they started saying, okay, now we've got this much control, we are going to start deciding what you see and what you don't see. It's fishing line out. Oh, it ain't great. Yeah, right, say what you like. You know, no censorship. Ooh, gotcha. And so we now have Facebook that is systematically censoring information outside of the official narrative. We have this situation with Facebook and Twitter now, which is known as ghost banning, which they do to me, which is you post it, but all the people that would like to see it, and I've liked or followed, would like to see it, they don't see it. Only a few of them see it. The vast majority don't see it because of ghost banning. They just don't circulate it. And you now have, as blatant as can be, YouTube is just deleting large and greater all the time numbers of channels that are presenting a different narrative to the official one in across the swathe of subjects that are just being deleted. They're just being deleted without any explanation.
In addition, he's saying that there's a conspiracy of silence and getting people to think a certain kind of way here on the planet, especially lately, and that the cabal, the Illuminati, if you will, Bilderbergers, trilateral people, are in control of all of the media and therefore control the thoughts, ideas, and behavior of the people on the planet. Any comments on that?
Well, first, it's absolutely true. I am sure if there are that many billions using these things, there are twice as many of us who have never had Facebook pages, never used Twitter, never have any social media contact, try not to use ever Google if you can help it. In other words, some of us understood from day one that where this was going and refused to participate in it. The only reason I participate in this smartphone is so I can talk to you, Russell, and do these radio shows. I've only even had a smartphone for the last 18 months. So, yes, obviously, anybody with a grain of common sense has to know that all these things that we allow into our lives, both audibly and visually, even the television, they're all being programmed as part of the control over us. So the more we use these things, the more we allow them into our lives, the more of our own control of our life we're giving up. That's our choice. How many times have I said to you in our conversations, or you know, as the conversations have gone along, this person wrote this book, this person wrote that book, read this, read that, and how many times have you said to me that people don't like to read today? Well, this is the problem. This is a huge problem. You can get all the information that you need about everything you ever need to know about in life out of the written word, right? But because people are too generally busy or too lazy to read, they want it all fed to them, fed on YouTube, fed on the television, fed on the Facebook, fed on, or even their opinion. They go on Facebook and Twitter, people tell me, to find out what their friend's view is so they know what their view will be. Teenage insanity. This is what you do in high school. You want to be one of the crowd, so you find out what everybody else is thinking so you can decide you think the same as them. Adults should not be doing that. Adults should be reading material. They should be digesting it, and they should be working out for themselves what seems right to them and what does not, instead of wasting all their time getting everybody else's opinion fed into them, right, and not thinking about things themselves. So, yes, it's a terrible situation, but if people are going to allow themselves to be constantly brainwashed and spied upon by the government, well, sadly, it comes to the old story. You know, people get the government they deserve. And this is what we have deserved. Because we have not defended our freedoms, because we have not taken responsibility for ourselves, and continue to think for ourselves. We've asked other people to think for us in every step of our lives. People to decide how our education of our children should be. We ask other people to put health plans together to decide to tell us what health coverage we need. This is across the board, more an American way of life than any other I've ever seen, but it's pretty much true for the industrialized world that we have given away our independence, and by doing that, we've given away also, we've excused ourselves of responsibility. Failure to be willing to take responsibility for yourself means giving away your freedom. And once you've given it away, well, it's going to be very, very rough road and very difficult to get it back again. It's not going to be an easy road. I don't think that we will ever get it back the way it used to be.
Well, I don't know whether we've ever had it. I mean, we've always been controlled. On this planet, may I say that AI has been always in control, right? You're born in a certain community, you raise, you follow the cultural ethos of that community that you're in, you know, the cultural mores, philosophy, if you will, the ethics and moral principles that have been taught to you from grade school, then you go to middle school, then you go to college and universities, and all of its parallels. It's all constricted for you. Listen, David says there is not any freedom of expressions anymore.
That what is freedom of speech? It's the freedom to speak. So I read a politician today saying, I agree with freedom of speech, but there are limits. Well, there's no freedom of speech then.
Mm.
Freedom of speech is the freedom to speak. If anyone's not allowed to speak, then it's not freedom of speech. It's freedom to conform to certain parameters of what are acceptable. And then what that's doing is giving power to some authority to decide what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. And as we see, and we're seeing it massively now, once you give that power to an authority, it then starts interpreting what can and cannot be said in a way that squeezes and squeezes and squeezes more and more of what cannot be said. This is what political correctness is about. What is political correctness? It's simply manipulating the target population to silence itself. So those in authority don't have to.
So would you agree with that statement that he says? That we...
Yes, I do. I totally agree with him. And I support freedom of speech. But having said that, it goes back to what I said previously, failure of responsibility for yourself. Because freedom of speech is, as he says, absolute, right? You cannot have any restrictions on it, except those restrictions that you put on yourself as a as basic consideration for your fellow human beings. If you are obeying the golden rule and doing unto others as you would be done by, then you're not going to start looking somebody in the face and calling them rude ethnic slur names. You might have the freedom of speech to do it, but you're not going to do it if you have any sense of responsibility yourself, because it goes against the golden rule of do unto others as you would be done by. So it's about self-discipline. So, you know, you and I have talked about this so many times, Russell, that without self-discipline and a true sense of responsibility for ourselves, we are going to get nowhere. When we start thinking of everything and trying to organize everything or fix everything in large numbers of masses of people, populations, nations, whatever, it's never going to work. Every nation and every planet is filled with individuals. And Americans are not one mass lump that can be solidified into the thoughts and thinking of one person. We're not anywhere near that as a hive mind. We are a nation full of individuals. Every nation is. The entire planet is full of individuals, and all these things, everything that we talk about, without exception, is a matter of individual choice. We all choose. Now, every single soul, I don't care what their circumstances, what their blessings or constraints are in life, every single soul knows right from wrong. Every single soul always chose that which was right instead of that which is expedient, then we'd have a perfect society where we wouldn't need all these people and we wouldn't allow all these people to be spying us. We would never vote into power the kind of people who impose these things on us. We wouldn't, we simply wouldn't do it. It would never happen. But it has happened, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And it's because of the failure of individuals to take personal responsibility. And we see this across the board. And it is that culmination of failure to take personal responsibility for generations, not for the last 5 or 10 years, but for several generations, failure, which has allowed a small cabal to get control in conjunction with extraterrestrial reptilian beings who've no business on our planet in the first place. And that has allowed that small group, relatively speaking, to control everything and control more and more aspects of our lives till right now we are all slaves. Every single person on this planet, man, woman, and child, is in slavery, in servitude to the powers that be. And the powers that be are a very few thousand human beings and a couple of thousand, let's say, reptilians, all tied in together. And they are controlling the other 8.9 billion people on the planet because we've allowed it.
Well, David says it's about 10 of them. And I think here's the way he says that.
What they're going to say is because of the danger of terrorism and terrorists communicating on the internet, these things have to be stopped. I mean, what did Cameron say after the London riots? We may have to talk about censoring Twitter and Facebook. And Bill Clinton, and when Bill Clinton, like Tony Blair or George Bush or anybody, when they open their mouths, it's the Rothschild speaking. Just a few months ago, Bill Clinton came out and said we need basically a censor organization, a ministry of truth, to police the internet and to stop people. He specifically talked about people who are spreading rumors on the internet and are not true. They are true, Bill, okay. They're in my books. There's old documentaries about it. They're true. Go away. Drink your milk.
He's too much. It's really a UK. Anyway, we seem to have a problem because freedom of speech is no longer existence in a true sense of the word. And why? Look, I think Trump, and I beg your pardon, I know you love Trump, but when you hear him and talk about calling people names, knock them down. They should be knocked down. They should be killed. They should be whatever. They should be get his ass off the field. The whole lot. He talks in those kind of languages. So the people who are, how can I say it? A nice term. The people who live in Appalachia, how's that? and who believe that the South should rise again, they love him and they support him 20,000%. And so he's participating in that, and that's how he got elected. Not discussing the relevancy of what we should do in terms of our economic development on this planet, in terms of the city states, and even to our international expansion, in terms of where we should give people money to boost up the government of Germany, to continue that process, or the Philippines, or whatever. But, you know, so we have a problem. How do you see this being resolved?
Okay,
go ahead. Let me address
this. You have never heard me say I love Trump, right? I imagine that 5 minutes in his company, I would find him so obnoxious and rude that I wouldn't be able to stand him. What I have said repeatedly was that he was what America needs. And I still believe that because there is the difference I see in exactly just what you said is that everything that you talk about now, that you just in this last sentence said about the problems here and the should we do this, should it, all those issues are changing nothing. They are simply putting Band-Aids over hemorrhages, and it won't work. What Trump did was by his brash, vulgar, loudmouth behavior, he ripped off the Band-Aids and let the hemorrhage flow so that people could really begin to get a view of what truly is going on in this country. And when you mention, you know, the people of Appalachia, well, I have to tell you, they have always been high on my list of charities because the living conditions in Appalachia for thousands and thousands of people are worse than I saw when working in a third world country. So there are many people in our country here in America who are not living ideal lives by any manner of means. And part of it is because those who do have a good life, those who are affluent, right, are so content with their lives that they don't actually want anything to change. So long as they can have their internet and chat with their friends on Twitter and Facebook every day and watch what they want on YouTube and generally not be interfered with in their lives because their lives are towing the line required of them by the government, right, then they are not going to complain about it. And the ones who are suffering under these government regulations or the ones who are conscious of what is actually going on, they are the ones who will support Mr. Trump because he is, rude as he is as a person, he is still bringing to light. I mean, think about it. Coming to light now in these, all these disclosures began because of the Democratic witch hunts after Trump. From the moment that he said he was running for election, they started a witch hunt. And those witch hunts led to more and more information coming out. And now we're almost at the point of, you know, the government admitting it, working with extraterrestrials, and who knows where these disclosures are going. And I think that what Mr. Trump did for this country was, as I said, rip all the band-aids off and start saying, okay, now we can really see, or beginning to see, the way everything is hemorrhaging in this country. And the biggest hemorrhage of all is our freedom. As individuals and as a nation, we are losing our freedoms. When Mr. Trump withdrew from NATO, for example, a lot of people were up in arms, and that, not least of which was the European community. They went crazy when he pulled us out of NATO. It was the best thing anybody could do, because Europe was draining us financially. We were paying two-thirds of the bills for everything that was for the protection of Europe, and they weren't putting up their share. Plus, we were getting controlled by their regulations. So we were losing even our national freedoms because the cabals want, the cabal people, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Bilderbergers, you name that whole long list, they want one world government. And they want to be the ones running it. So that is the absolute end of any freedom. Once we give up our national freedom, and our nation has already taken away our personal freedom with the Patriot Act and the suspension of the Bill of Rights, as individuals, we don't have any freedom protection anymore. They are after the guns with which we can protect ourselves. And I will say that it is only, and I say this categorically, it is only because the United States of America has a highly armed populace that we don't get invaded, that the Germans didn't try to take us over, the Japanese didn't try, that they didn't actually put troops on the ground with us, and nor will they, because we have an armed populace, because we have guns in our homes with which to defend ourselves against invaders. Unfortunately for us, very much since World War II, and intensely so in the last 20, 25 years, it's our own government which has been our, meaning our, me, you and I, the citizens, our biggest enemy has been our own government, because it is taking away all our rights. And now, under the present government, they are also trying to take away our last defense, our guns. And if the government ever succeeds in taking away our guns as individuals, and they come round like they did in Europe and collect all the guns at gunpoint at the door and make you hand them over, if that ever happens, then the last of our freedom is gone, and we will never, ever get it back again. So we all need to be thinking very carefully about what's going on in our country and on our planet, because the end result of this is that the cabal gets one world government, global government, then that group of people, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati, right, the above 33 degree Masons, all these people in these occult hidden groups that nobody elects, that nobody knows about, that nobody has any access to, except within themselves, amongst themselves, they will be running the entire planet. And the odds are that they've already sold our planet to the reptilians.
Okay. All right. I think that, as William Tompkins said, and if we were to go back and listen to what he has said, and I can always play that again, that he says, we have lost that battle already, that every government in the world happens to be under control of the reptilians as we speak and the cabal. That's what he's saying. We've lost that battle. Now, the question is, how do we get it back? That's my question.
We stand up and fight.
You're asking for another civil war, and we had one in 1965. 600,000 people were killed. You know, brother against father and sister against cousin and all that. So we had that. Do you want to do that again then, in terms of trying to grasp, if you will, our freedoms back, to wrestle?
No,
our...
I would hope, because I'm not an anarchist. I believe in working from the inside rather than attacking from the outside whenever possible, right? So we still have a thing called elections here where we can go and vote. I would hope that there would be enough disclosures coming out of the truth of what is happening on all walks of life, incontrovertible evidence that these things are going on, that the government is interacting with the reptilians, that the Germans, Nazis, were left over from World War II and do inhabit not only under Antarctica and areas of Brazil and South America, but also sit in seats of power as CEOs on many, many of our major incorporations and pharmaceutical companies right through the industrial military complex. I would hope that enough of these truths would be put forward, and that at the same time, 2 years from now when we come to an election, there are enough honest people standing who will recognize two things. One, that all these things are true, and two, that they, as representatives of the people, do not automatically have right to dictate. And if we could get enough honest people to do that, to form a presidency and a government, I don't care what they call themselves, right? If we could get that, then we could stand up against these outside influences, because we would have a government representing nearly 400 million Americans who would support their government against these intrusions. But we don't have that. And the way they are going, it looks as if there is very little hope that we will ever get it, because those who seek power seem to be more interested in their own success and their own power, making them great, rather than making the representation of the people great for the benefit of the people. This shows up every time. We've just had these midterm elections. Look how even the contestants fight among them. They can't even agree that they are representing the same people. In other words, there is no integrity. And if we don't get that level of integrity in our politics, we are not going to have any other choice, if we want freedom, than to physically fight for it. Nobody wants that. But ask yourself this, what is your freedom worth? Is your freedom worth your life? Because if they came to my door now, we just had 2 years of COVID, and I said this, and it sounds easy to say, but I mean it, right? If the government had sent an agent to my door and tried to forcibly give me a COVID injection, which I know to be poisonous and a killer anyway, right, I would have pulled my gun on them. And when I did that, they would have shot me. And I know that, right? And I know there are many situations, and I've known many people put in those situations by the government and the government's agents. But would I think it was worth getting killed for? Absolutely. Because for me, my freedom and my freedom of choice about my body is mine. And no government regulation is going to take that away from me, ever. Right? And if everybody thought like that, we could stand against these intruders. Think about it. The entire mass of all those groups, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati, if you add them all up, I bet the entire total of that group with all their wives and their families and their children, I doubt if they exceed, they certainly don't exceed 50,000 people. The core people are probably somewhere between 20 and 30,000 in total. And the ruling families are only 300 or 400 in total. Now, what's that against billions of people? If we wanted to stand up against them, we could have a night of the long knives and get rid of them all in one giant act of terror, if you like, that would completely clear the planet out of them. All done just in one night.
Well,
be a civil war. That would not be a civil war.
It would be. It would be. Be assured it would be, because they have the forces of power in their grasp, if you will. When you say you want to attack City Hall, guess what you have? You have the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marine Corps, the police force, the gendarmes. You have all of those on their side. So what are you talking about?
Well, that's why I want to do it. That's why I said I'm not an anarchist. I prefer to do it peacefully from the inside. And don't think you can't. The entire British Army was at the disposal of the governor of India. But guess who won? Gandhi. And Gandhi never owned a military weapon in his life.
Right.
So we can. But it requires individual choice.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has to think about it, and they don't think. That's the trouble. They don't think.
Well, how are you going to think when you've been programmed? Listen, we've been programmed. You're in the cul-de-sac. You're in the labyrinth of a community that has already been controlled since birth. Now, how are you going to get out of that? You're in a matrix. AI is controlling this planet. Go ahead. Talk to me.
Okay. I'm going to say one thing. That is a cop-out.
Okay.
Absolutely. That's the same cop-out as saying to me, people don't read.
Okay.
It's not because they can't read. It's because they can't be bothered to read. And yes, I agree. We've all been programmed. We've been programmed with the Judeo-Christian way of thinking for the last couple of thousand years, which has damaged our minds greatly and made us difficult to think for ourselves. We've been programmed by the government. We've been programmed by all this AI surveillance over us all the time. I totally agree. We are like robots. What I'm saying is that there are enough people out there in the world saying the same things that I say, but to much, much bigger audiences, speakers and writers, people like Dr. Sala, people like Michael Ledwith, people like David Icke, people like Bill Cox, people like Corey Good. All these people are addressing thousands of people by their videos, their YouTubes, their talk shows, their books, everything that they're doing. If there is a single person left on this planet who has never heard of the extraterrestrials or the Bilderbergers or the government, cabals, all the reptilians, it is entirely because there is nowhere from Australia to the Antarctic, to the Arctic, right, where you cannot find information today about all these subjects. So if you are one of those population out there and you don't know anything about this, well, shame on you, because you have this personal responsibility to find out.
Well, can we agree?
That's a personal responsibility.
Great. Thank you very much. Can we agree that there has been a dark cloud of secrecy over this whole country for the last 70 years or more in regard to UFO and extraterrestrials and other species coming to this planet. Would you believe that? Tompkins told that. We've all been, maybe
right.
I need to go back and play that right. clip, that we've been miseducated to the fact,
right.
the reality of
this. We've been lied to. In the Western world, which is predominantly the Christian world, you know, we have been lied to for 2,000 years, starting with the misrepresentations decided upon by the bishops of the churches telling us what we should believe, and the government ever since telling us what we should believe, right? The
right.
point is that we all have our own God-given brain, and we can choose what we believe. Everybody chooses what they believe. There's nobody climbing into your head with a little box that has instructions in it that says, believe this, and putting it in your brain. It's fed into your subconscious. It's fed subliminally to you. It's fed in all the ways it's fed to you. Yes, that's true. Through your hearing, through your sight, through your experiences, all these things. But nonetheless, the bottom line is you have your own God-given brain, and you decide what you will believe.
Okay.
You. Nobody else decides. You do.
All right. All right.
So it's,
most
so
people,
it's your responsibility.
Fine, thank you. Most people are controlled by their environment, you know, the social, economic, political forays and activities that are going on a day-by-day basis. And I just want to address this. And even the big disclosure by the television and by the Pentagon of recent days, it's new to a lot of people.
Well, has the U.S. government been hiding pieces from crashed UFOs? That's the question being asked because of a blockbuster story published in the New York Times.
The Times acknowledge what our I-team has reported for the past few years, namely that a secret Pentagon study looking into UFOs is still underway after all. But the newspaper story drew a rebuke from one of the sources it quoted, former Nevada Senator Harry Reid. George Knapp has this exclusive story.
You've said about you don't think it's little green men, and we had a lot of speculation about where these vehicles are from. They're far more advanced than anything known to us. Is it possible that nobody really, there's no one who knows the ultimate answer?
I think now, and the reason I'm so terribly interested in this is I don't think no one has the answers.
Former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has spoken with us about UFO issues more times than with any other media organization on and off the record. And in each of those exchanges, we've asked about the persistent stories of crashed saucers, recovered materials, dark secrets, the same rumors that started with the famous Roswell incident in 1947 and which resurfaced in 1989 with our news reports about alleged alien technology stashed in the Nevada desert near Area 51. On the same day that Bob Lazar's tale was unveiled to the world, Reid told us this in a live interview.
Well, you know, George, I'll have to look at this. I have heard about this exact story. I've heard about it as kind of a preview of your program. I'm visiting with you once before. I'm anxious to get the facts. I think it's something we should look into.
Over the years, Reid visited Area 51 several times, but whatever he saw out there, he's never commented. The latest report from the New York Times has generated a worldwide wave of media coverage and public interest. The Times confirmed what we've reported since 2017, that contrary to the Pentagon statements, a secret study of UFOs, or as they're now called, UAPs, is ongoing.
Okay. And it's been ongoing for the last 70 years, 80 years or better, right? Now, even your husband, God bless his, rest his soul, he worked for 40 years, day and night, spent millions of dollars traveling all over the world trying to educate people about the extraterrestrials and what did they do? See, he's a nutcase. Something's wrong with him. He's despicable. He's diabolical. He's evil. He's nefarious. I mean, they all kinds of names, that he took. I mean, he took a lot of hits during the course. I mean, would you say that you were with him the last 15 years of his life? Did he take a lot
yes,
of hits?
That's true. Yeah,
okay.
That's true. Yeah, he got some hate mail. not too much. Not as much as one might expect. But yes, he did get some hate mail. Some people are very unkind. But at least it shows that they were listening and asking some questions. You know, we never want somebody, certainly I never want anybody to, A, believe what I'm telling them, or B, agree with me, right? What I hope whenever I say anything about anything is that I believe somebody hears it and say, oh, that might be worth thinking about, or, you know, I'll look into that, or I'll do some research on that. I hope some of the things that you and I talk about are interesting enough to people that they actually start asking questions, because the only way we learn anything is when we start asking questions. It's our failure in curiosity, our failure to ask, that's brought us to the terrible situation we're in now, both as a nation and individually with the state of things that are going on in people's lives. It's a sad situation. And
all right.
I wish I was one of those people, Russell, who is all sweetness and light and could bring nice, loving messages from some great spirit. Everything was going to be okay. But the truth of the matter is it's not going to be okay. It's going to get very, very bad. And the only thing that we can do about it is what we should always be doing, and that is taking responsibility for our choices and really thinking about what we do, thinking about it, not
all
just
right.
acting.
But, yeah, and you're right. We've had the Laura Eisenhowers and Paula Harris and Jim Mars and Colonel Wendell Stevens and George Greens and John Lears and Bob Lears and Billy Carsons and David Icke. Certainly we have those individuals among us. And Travis Walton and the whole line, Jim Sparks. Oh, I mean, I can go down a whole list of names, people who
right.
have been
on
the forefront of trying to get this information out to us. But at last, after 70 or 80 years, and many people have gone to the graves, right, with all those secrets mm-hmm. with kept within them, because they were saying, if you disclose any of this stuff about Roswell, about the Randisham Forest or whatever, the crash in the UK or any of that stuff, then we would not only kill you, but we kill your dog, your cat, and all the members of your family. Were they not threatened, if I may?
Government,
okay.
The one big thing that the American government is very, very, very good at is threatening people. It gets people to work for them. It gets people to do things for them. And when those people think, no, I shouldn't be doing this, I need to tell somebody this isn't right, then they threaten you. They threaten you with death, and they usually threaten your family. And I know one or two people whose secrets George guarded for them, because they would say, well, if you keep my secrets and the government knows I've hidden my secrets with somebody, then they'll be less likely to kill me or my wife or my kids. That's the kind of terrorism that our government practices over its own citizens. So, yeah, I would not trust the government. Any dealings with any part,
but most
except
of
maybe Social Security and Medicare, they seem to be a pretty decent bunch.
Okay, but really, honestly, as we get down to the last 15 minutes of the show here today, most of the people in the government, the senators and congressmen and people who are presidents and vice presidents and et cetera, they didn't have any of this information at all, right? And they were even threatened. Even today, when we look at Barack Obama, or even, I would say, Donald Trump, they even told them, you better not speak up too loud, or we'll get rid of you, as he did Kennedy, right? As was proven.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we all have been threatened.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, so And recently, I just want to get this. This is important. Recently, there have been some things coming out of the Pentagon. Now, you were saying people like George Green and Wendell Phillips, Colonel Corso, and all those people who did leave us some information about what really was hidden for many, many years by the Majestic 12, and we won't get into that today except to say that you got Dr. Stephen Greer with the Project Disclosure Program that he's been working on for, what, 35, 40 years? Here's what he's saying about the people who are coming to the podium and on television and radio to talk about the soft disclosure, as he calls it.
So these people that you see on 60 Minutes, that you see on Fox News and CNN and all the media, this is the ramping up of the false disclosure that we warned about in 1999 when we wrote the paper, When the Disclosure Serves Secrecy. Why? Because they want people to now know that there are UFOs, but they want to put this big lie out there that they are a national security threat and concern, what Nick Pope and others keep saying. By the way, Nick Pope has admitted to two people on my team that he has been paid large sums of money to say these very scripted things in the mainstream media so that he has been able to buy some really pricey real estate in Soho and London and elsewhere. One of my concerns about this is that while I normally do not engage in sort of gossip, is that now that these people are miseducating deliberately the American people and the world on this, it is a very big concern. They have stepped into another level of deception. It's one thing if you're at a UFO conference in front of 1,000 people. It's another thing if there are millions and millions of people hearing this lie. Now, all these people, from Chris Mellon to Luis Elizondo to Leslie Kane to Nick Pope and others, know for a fact just what I just said, that there are two types of UFO things. Man-made ones, that is the bigger secret, by the way. The ET issue is not as big a secret as the man-made ones for a reason I'll get into in a moment. And that this is not a national security threat. All the images that you have seen in the mainstream news of the Tic Tac, of these pyramids and triangles, those are all ours. And they were filmed and known at some point they would release it to open the door to this subject. But there's more coming. You saw on the History Channel where the Italian helicopter that crash landed after it had some malfunction, that whole event, we know from Paula Harris, who was there and met with the man who's now the admiral who when it is on that show, said that those were our human classified electromagnetic weapons that they were attempting to target UFO ET craft that were in the area at the time. She knows this for a fact and documented it. So almost everything you're seeing that's going out through the mainstream media right now is not only a lie, but a damn lie, which is exactly what Wernher von Braun warned about would eventually happen when he told Carol Rosen that in 1974, and of course, which I learned about in the early 90s and have been warning people about since. Unfortunately, we're going to live through this period of this false launch of information. The only way we're going to correct it is for all of you to share this YouTube video with everyone. I don't care if you rip it off the site and post it elsewhere, do it. Because unfortunately, we're at a point now where there is a massive information campaign that is false. And the reason they want people to think all of these are things that we don't know and can't figure out how they fly is so that eventually they can put out more scary information, perhaps next month with the Director of National Intelligence report, showing even more gruesome events that have happened that show, in fact, that these are a threat to the national security. Why? Of course, that with the fascist military industrial and industrialist complex want people to be afraid of something. So this is the next big thing. It's much bigger than 9/11. It's much bigger than COVID. We've been warning about it for some time. Unfortunately, we're trying to see if some people can get pulled off the precipice, including Luis Elizondo. That is why Daniel Sheehan is working with him. Now, I've made it very clear that Daniel Sheehan has told me he would do this, that if he cannot get Luis Elizondo to speak the truth and come clean on this, that he would drop him as a client. He will drop him as a client.
Right. Now, what are your comments about that? I mean, this is not easy to deal with. Yes, go ahead.
No, and it's absolutely true. What he's talking about is totally correct. It's way back in 1990. I did a talk in Denver, right? And there were a lot of people there, 400 or 500 people heard this conversation. And what I was talking about were the changes that were coming to the planet over this period from 1990 right through to 2025. And these were socioeconomic, political, and geophysical changes. And in the political changes, I was talking about the presence of the extraterrestrials' influence on the planet, which is relatively small compared to that which is going on the planet, our own government people, the cabal people, and partly the extraterrestrials who are already entrenched on our planet. And they are mostly two groups, the reptilians and the Pleiadians. The Pleiadians have had this sweetness and light message forever, which I'm highly suspicious of. And the reptilians, they're just bad news no matter which way you look at them. So we don't even need to be suspicious of them. We know they're bad news. And when we know that they are working with the former Nazis, as disclosed by Dr. Michael Sullivan's book about Antarctica, History of Antarctica, and well-documented evidence with, photocopies of signed papers from the time of Eisenhower, then we can absolutely know that this is correct, right? That we are definitely under siege by the reptilians across this planet right now. So what Dr. Greer is talking about, this false period, is also what you and I have talked about frequently, Russell. How many times have you heard me say, I even used to say it to George and he would get cross with me. Almost every 98% of any UFOs that you see in the sky are coming from this planet. They're either coming from the existing extraterrestrial, Pleiadian and reptilian bases, the underground bases of the Greys, or primarily that's where they're coming from, our own bases like Area 51 and our own secret experiments, which are being done in conjunction with the reptilians. Let's not forget where all that technology that our military has is coming from. It's coming from the Nazis and the Nazi scientists and the reptilians in conjunction with the Pentagon. And they are producing all these. And Greer is right, the triangle craft with the three big lights on and so on and so forth. These are all our own military. The ones that are coming from the Pleiadians are coming from their bases on this planet. And there are a few coming from other extraterrestrial groups visiting on and off the planet that you see. So Dr. Greer is telling the truth. And he's also telling the truth when he says that blaze of extraterrestrial, so-called extraterrestrial power in our skies is one big scare tactic being put up by the government so that they can say, whoops, now all these are in our skies. We need to have martial law. We need to control everything. And that will be the next thing. We will have martial law. I honestly thought that we would have had it by October of this year. And I did say that, I think about a year ago, I said I'm expecting by October of 22 that we can be seeing martial law in many, if not all, places across the planet. We're still headed into that. It's just a matter of timing. You know, the government will do it when they want to do it. But yes, he's right. They will use that as a scare tactic to say these are extraterrestrial crafts. They are a threat to our security. We have to lock down the country. And don't forget, they've already tested us out 2 years ago to see how obedient we would be by being locked down. We would give up our businesses, our jobs, our income, our professions, lose our homes, do everything. They told us there was a virus that we needed to be afraid of. So imagine how gullible the population of the world will be when they say, there's an extraterrestrial armed force going to wipe you into oblivion. They've already made, you know, a War of the Worlds remake of the great H.G. Wells movie, right? And that was a blockbuster, and it's on across all the television. It's even on, you can watch it on YouTube, on the television channels, everywhere. War of the Worlds, War of the Worlds. I believe last week Netflix had three different versions of War of the Worlds that you could choose from, right? They're getting us ready to run that big scare tactic so they can completely lock us down. And they already know from the COVID experiment that we will submit. They've tested us and we failed. And the only place where they didn't fail, I think, was to some extent Mr. Santos in your great state of Florida, Russell. And if he runs for president, I will definitely vote for him. And the governor of Wyoming, who said, I don't believe all this nonsense and I'm not locking my state down. Two people, one woman and one man, and they stood out against the government in that COVID scare. You know, if now we're all ready to submit and do as we're told, because they know we'll put our face masks on, we'll refuse to go to work, we'll hunker down and stay in our home. It's very serious. And I totally support Dr. Greer in getting this message out wherever you can. Don't believe it, because it's not a true message. The truth is the reptilians are already in control of us, and that's the battle that we need to have, not something coming from outer space, because all those ships are made by our own government.
Well, so here we are, a day late,
here we
a
are.
Dollar short, and now we have to figure all this stuff out. As Tompkins says, we're in trouble. We need all the help we can get. So you think we can get help from the Anunnaki? You think we can get help from the Pleiades or from the Nordics, from the Blue Avians, from whomever?
I am supremely confident that what is going to happen, because Tillians, as they are embedded in the Earth companies, within the industrial military complex, I think that is a battle that we have to show we are willing to fight for. We're willing to fight for our own freedom. We're willing to stand up and say, no, no more. I've had enough. I'm not taking it. And so when we are willing to do that, then I am absolutely confident that the Anunnaki as a race will return to this planet. As Christ promised, there is a second coming, and this time he is bringing a sword. And when we show that we are willing to stand up and fight for our lives, our freedom, our independence, and the security of our own planet, then Christ will come with a sword and finish off the enemies for us. Of that, I am sublimely confident, because I know that's what's going to happen. But I also know that it's not going to be an easy fix if we're not willing to take our share of the responsibility, if we're not willing as a people, as a race, the human race on planet Earth, if we are not willing to stand up and say, this is our planet, we are the ones who have a right to live and rule here, and we are not going to take this dictatorship from these evil, satanic, you know, Baal-worshipping people any longer. We're going to stand up and throw them off our planet, get rid of them, right? Until we are willing to do that, we're not going to get the help we need.
Okay. Well, as your husband said, George Green, before he left us, he said, we have to take responsibility, right?
And don't look for anybody out here to save you other than yourself. You know, even Christ said that. He said, what I do, you can do and greater. And what you sow, you shall reap.
And there we are. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate you.
Yes.
Thank you very much for your time, your energy, your
thank
effort,
you.
And your insight. And you have a good one. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Have a good weekend. Thank you now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye now.